Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
So we've been talking about living is giving. Go with me to Malachi chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 6 through 12. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob, yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Now, this area of tithing, it always gets a bad rap. But I'm going to tell you something. The word tithe means ten, tenth. He says in verse 6, for I am the Lord, I do not change. We don't have an Old Testament God and a New Testament God. God does not change. I am glad He doesn't change. You know, His love doesn't fail you. And when you capture it, it changes you. And that's the way it is. Because His is always there. And you know, somebody will tell you that. They love you. But you know, they'll let you down. But you know, when you got that with Him, man, it brings something to you. When that comes to revelation and in your heart, you realize how much God loves you, that'll change your life. And He never changes. That's why nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Neither powers or principalities or powers nor things present nor things to come will be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm glad He doesn't change. Now, therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob, yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances. Now, that word ordinance, it's derived from the word ordinary. So, that's what He's saying. He's saying, You have gone away from my ordinary ways of doing things. That's what He's telling us. My ordinances, you're no longer keeping my ordinances. You've moved away from the way I do things, the ordinary way. See, that's what Malachi is. The book of Malachi, all right, the first chapter is how to return to the faith. The second chapter is how to return to the family. The third chapter, what we're in now, is how to return in our financial well-being. The fourth chapter is God returning to us. Now, verse 8, will a man rob God? Now, the word rob in the Hebrew language means bodily harm or bodily injury. Because when somebody breaks in your house or they meet you in the parking lot and they come up with a gun or a knife or something and they rob you, that injures you. They may not even shoot you or stab you, but it affects you emotionally. It affects your psyche, you know, when somebody intrudes in your life and takes something from you. Well, you see, that's the way it is. When we hold back on our tithe, it affects the body of Christ from being healthy and keeping it in its proper place and going in the right direction. Am I making sense? That's the meaning behind that. Now, he says in verse 9, he says, "You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." So remember last week I said, you know, so if I tithe, I'm blessed. If I don't tithe, I'm cursed. We ought to choose blessing, right? That's what he says in Deuteronomy. "I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live." By choosing the blessing, it's affecting us and our descendants. So a tithe, the word tithe is a tenth. And in the Bible, 10 represents a test. And that's why God says this. He says this in verse 10. He says, "And try me now in this." He says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse." What's the storehouse? The local church. The storehouse is where you're being fed. That's where you bring it. You don't say, "Well, I'm going to give 7% here, and I'm going to give 3% over here." See, you're taking it in your own hands and doing what you want to do. He teaches, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. And he says, bring it. He doesn't say, give it. In other words, it's his. So we're just bringing what's his, right? God doesn't need it. God's not in need of money. But he knows that this is what I've established to advance the kingdom. You see this? And this is for your well-being. It's not to keep the lights on. It's for you. And when we obey this principle, it affects every area of our life. He says, "That food may be in my house." Are you eating here? Any of you ever go out to eat and then you just run off and don't pay the bill? Huh. Well, I'll leave that alone. But now, think about this. This is the way God has got it set up. You bring it to the storehouse, and you trust the leadership, and really you're trusting God. Because when you release it, it's in God's hands. But you see, people want to control it. And see, that's religion. And that right there, see, if you don't trust the leadership, now I'm not being mean. If you don't trust the leadership, you need to go somewhere where you do trust the leadership, because that's where you'll prosper. And that's where God will be able to bless you. You see that? I'm not being mean and trying to, no, but that's the idea. But if you trust the leadership, you just do what God says and God will do the rest. See, we're co-laborers, right? Does that make sense? We're co-laborers with Christ. Now look at this. So a tithe is a tenth, and 10 represents testing. How many plagues did Pharaoh bring in Egypt? 10. How many commandments are there? 10. How many times did God test Israel in the wilderness? 10. How many times was Jacob's wages changed? 10. How many days was Daniel tested? 10. How many virgins were tested in Matthew 25? 10. How many days were they tested in Revelation? How many disciples are there? I was testing you. 10 represents a test. Okay, I'm a pastor, and I really have a conviction because I see this, to help people in this area. But it's like you try to help people and they get mad at you. You try to help, you understand? But you know what? We got to get beyond that and really see what's going on. That's, you're going to see something today that you haven't seen before. I've heard that we can't be cursed. I've heard people say, "Well, we can't be cursed. Jesus took the curse on the cross." Well, he did. He did take the curse on the cross. But now, does that mean you can live any way you want to? No. You have to begin to obey his word and his ways, and that removes the curse. He made it possible for us to not be in a curse. But if we keep doing our own way, we're bringing the curse. You see that? Not him. We bring it on ourselves. It was better for you if before you were a Christian, your financial, if you never struggled financially before you were a Christian, and now you became a Christian and you're withholding a tithe, you were better off financially before you were a Christian. Because, see, now you're under his authority. And that's what he's wanting to bless you. Make sense? And when we yield to that, then we get to experience the benefit of it. That's his will. So it talks about in 1 Peter that he bore all our sins on the cross, and by his stripes we are healed. So we're healed. That means that he took it all, but now, do we still get sick? Yeah. Do we still sin? We do, don't we? But see, the idea is we're under grace now, and we're not under the curse. We can repent and deal with that. See that? The curse isn't on us. We bring it on by our disobedience and our ignorance. Am I making sense? That's the way it is. Now, think about this. Okay, I get all these other questions. Well, tithing was under the law. Remember, God is not an Old Testament God and a New Testament God. Tithing is under the law. Okay, now, let's just say, I want to stir up some stuff, and Charlie and I get in an argument. I'm going to start lying on him. So I go around lying on Charlie. I'm telling lies all over the place on Charlie. If I do that, Susan said she'd knock me out. I believe that. Now, what is this example? No. But if I go around lying on him, all right, think about this. I'm under grace. We're no longer under the law. You see that? All right, I say, Barbara Jean, give me your purse.
Then I'll knock you out again.
Now, she tells me she loves me all the time.
I do, Pastor.
And she's going to knock me out. That's love. I need to get back over here, don't I? But I say, Barbara, give me your purse, and I don't give it back. I just keep it. That's stealing, right? I'm no longer under the law. I'm under grace. Give me some grace. Come on. You see that? So that really, that argument of the law versus grace is really insignificant. So tithing was right under the law. Is it wrong under grace? No. You're going to see this. Go with me to Matthew 5 real quick. Verse 17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to what? To fulfill. Malachi was a prophet. He came to fulfill the returning to the family, the returning to faith, the returning to the finances. You see that? And then he's coming back to make sure that it was accomplished. You see that? Now watch this. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, what was the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees established in? The law. That's why you can't do that. You can't live up to that. You need grace. You can live it out, but with grace, you can do it. You see that? Power. Grace is power. He gives more grace and more grace. He gives grace to the humble, the one who's dependent on God. That's the one he's given the grace to. I need me some grace. I'm going to make mistakes, right? I'm not up here like I got it all together. But I've been called, and I'm answering that call. Amen? And that's the idea. We have to answer what God's calling us to. And we can, with grace, we can do this. That empowers us. Now watch this. You have heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Now look at this, verse 27. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So in the Old Testament, you had to commit the act, the physical act. In the New Testament, all you have to do is think about it. Did you get that? So the standard is what? Higher under grace. You see that? That's why we need the grace of God. That's why we need understanding. Now, tithing is biblical. Go with me to Genesis chapter 14 quickly. I really want you to see this. So write these down and look at them later because I want you to see this. This is an area where the church has been ignorant. God says in Hebrews chapter, in the book of Hebrews, that he is going to shake the kingdom. And everything that's not of the kingdom is going to be shaken and removed. Where's the kingdom? It's in us, right? That's what God is doing right now. He's shaking the kingdom. That's why all these financial problems and things, God's bringing his kingdom. I want you to have that rule over your life. And it's being shaken. And it hurts. It's painful. Some of us have been chasing mammon, but we say we're believers and we're Christians and we love God, but we have been after mammon, right? But God is shaking up everything. There's a whole lot of shaking going on, right? So we got to realize that it is going to hurt sometimes, and it's going to be painful, but it's all good. And God is working it together for good. Now look at this. Verse 18, then Melchizedek, Genesis 14, 18, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now, scholars say and theologians say that Melchizedek was a type of Jesus. A type, a shadow and type of Jesus. But I believe, as I see the scripture, I believe it was Jesus back there teaching and seeing how things were going. Jesus, because you're going to see this. And some scholars say it was, some say it was a type, but I want you to see this. So what did he bring? Bread and wine. Isn't that amazing? He brought bread and wine, and that's what we do. We take communion. Now look at this. He was the priest of God's Most High, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a what? Tithe of all. This predates the law. This was 500 years before the law. So tithing isn't connected to the law. Tithing is connected to God and the way God does things. And God does not change. Now the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. You see this? God has established the tithe of all. All our increase, we're to tithe. It's just a principle. It's a principle that God has established. Go with me to Genesis chapter 28, verse 22. I want you to look at this. Write these down. And this stone will I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a what? tenth to you. This pillar, this is established. This is something that is established and done, and it's there to stand in God's house. Who's God's house? We are. See, together, we gather together because that's the people of God. We're God's house, not this church. The people are God's house. And the word house in the Old Testament means family. We're God's family. That's what the tithe has been established for. Now listen. Okay, go with me to Deuteronomy 26, 1 and 2, real quick. And it shall be when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and put in a basket and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. See, that's why we take up offerings. Verse 13, same chapter. Then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the what? Holy tithe from my house, and also have given them to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all your commandments, which you have commanded me. I have not transgressed your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. I have not eaten any of it when in mourning. When trouble comes, when tough times come, they didn't spend the tithe. They kept bringing the tithe. You see that? They kept bringing it. When trouble came, when all around, they kept bringing the tithe. Now look at this. In mourning, nor have I removed any of it for an unclean use, because it's holy. The tithe is holy. Now look. Nor given any of it for the dead. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord my God and have done according to all that you commanded me. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people, Israel, and the land which you have given us, just as you swore to your fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. And that's the promised land. That's those promises being fulfilled in our life that are causing us to escape the corruption that's in the world through lust and deceitful desire. Because we're doing what he says. We're escaping. We're taking on his net. We're escaping the corruption. And that's the land that's flowing with milk. That's not heaven. That's here now. That's here now. Now, go with me to Matthew 23 real quick. 23:23. Woe to you. Let me ask you something. If Jesus told you to tithe, would you do it? Would you? All right. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay what? This is Jesus talking. You pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. This is Jesus talking here. I've had people say, well, he's talking about justice, mercy, and faith. He is. He says, that's the way you're. But you know what? Look what he said. He says, these you ought to have done without leaving the others what? Undone. That right there settles it for me. I know where I came from. And I know what I came out of. And if Jesus says to tithe, I'm going to do it. I know where I was as a child and all my journey up to where I am now. And I'm going to tell you, it's nothing but the grace of God that I'm standing here right now. Are you with me? And so when I really get a hold of that, it's like the tithe. It's like no-brainer. I do it. If you're struggling in this area, don't be condemned and don't beat yourself up. But get a hold of what God is saying to you. Because you see, worry and anxiety about money is removed when you're a tither. You're not worried. You know why? It's all on God now. It's not on me. Now I just tithe and God's going to take care of me in this financial area. Now, go with me quickly to Hebrews chapter 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, remember, Some say it's a type. Some say it is Jesus, Melchizedek, back in the Old Testament. Now look, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, Salem means peace, king of peace. Jesus is the prince of peace, right? He's the king of peace. Now watch this. Priest of the Most High, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a what? Tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness. Now, grammatically, that king of righteousness is, he's referring to Melchizedek. Who's the king of righteousness? Jesus. King of right, and then also king of Salem. King of peace, meaning king of peace. Jesus said, in me you will have peace. In this world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He holds our peace. He's the king of, verse 3, without, now watch this, without father, without mother, without genealogy. Think about that. This was saying that Melchizedek always existed. But Jesus has always existed from the, right? So that's why, having neither beginning of days or end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father as a priest right now for us. Bridge builder, pontifex. That's what priest means, pontifex. Takes you from the darkness into the light. From poverty into prosperity. From sickness into health. Ooh, he's the bridge builder. He's the pontifex. He's the priest. Now look at this. Now consider how great this man was to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a what? A tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi who received the priesthood have a commandment to receive what? From the people according to the law, that it is from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes. Talking about Melchizedek or Jesus. From Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Verse 7. Now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here, mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them. He receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Talking about Melchizedek, but also Jesus. You see that? So what's he saying? We bring our tithes to mortal men. We put it in the back. We trust mortal men. But he receives it. So in other words, if you're obeying God and you bring your tithe, it's out of your hands. You've trusted God. Now, the real pressure's on the people who are handling it. If there's any pressure, you see that. Come on, do you see that? And so, that's the idea. Now we're trusting God. And it's really about your heart, and it's a test. Every time you get paid, it's a test. What are you going to do? You're going to give God his part? We're co-laborers, right? We do our part, God does his part.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Our church office and 7 p.m. Saturday evening worship services are held at 340 West Russell Road. Our 10:30 a.m. Sunday service is held at Christian Academy School, located at 2151 West Russell Road. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.